Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. To mark the inauguration on Friday of Liverpool's year-long celebrations as European capital of culture, I thought I'd take a look at how the Catholic Church there is contributing to the events scheduled throughout the year. I thought I'd do this with someone whose voice is familiar to any of you who listen regularly and who's closely involved with this special year for his hometown. He's Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, and I spoke to him shortly before the first of the inauguration ceremonies. Father, you yourself come from Liverpool and are currently coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as European City of Culture. I'd just like to step back in time for a moment to the first time we met here at the radio, at the time you were serving as an official at the Pontifical Council for Culture. And the very first thing you said to me was, Veronica, you're wondering what a priest from Liverpool is doing at the Vatican's Office for Culture. Why did you feel you had a need to point that out?
Well, I think anyone who's lived in England in the last 20 or 30 years would understand that I was being self-deprecating. Liverpool is known much more for the Beatles or football hooligans or strange fashions. Wrongly so, because in fact Liverpool has done a great deal for the world in different ways, not least in terms of culture, but not a lot of people know that, and I was just kind of giving in to the normal image of Liverpool.
Now, this isn't a strictly religious project. How is it the Catholic Church is involved in it, given that England is a nation that has a minority of Catholics?
Well, we may be a minority, but we are, I think, the majority of churchgoers, the Catholics in the United Kingdom at the moment, and particularly in Liverpool, because whereas the overall presence of Catholics in British society is about 9 to 10%, here it can be, in some parts of the diocese, up to 50%. So it's a very unusual part of England in that sense. And a lot of the people who've made a contribution to life in Britain from here would be Christians. Amongst those, at least half of them would be Catholics. So it would be very odd for us not to say something about what we've done in the past and also try to help present Catholics understand that their faith isn't just for Sundays and for church buildings. It's meant to influence the way they live and the quality of the contribution they make to contemporary culture and to life in Britain generally.
I was taking a look at some of the range of events hosted in the Metropolitan Cathedral. Music weighs heavily on the agenda, if you can say that about music. I mean, you're dropping names of composers the likes of John Taverner and Verdi. Is there a special reason for this?
It may have a lot to do with the atmosphere or the ambiente of the Catholic Cathedral. It's an unusual building. It looks like an inverted funnel. In fact, it's sometimes called the Mersey Funnel, which rhymes with Mersey Tunnel, but then the Metropolitan Cathedral does loom large in the city, and music is a great tradition in both cathedrals.
Are you going to invite the Beatles in? The two Beatles that are left to
I think,
us? Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr.
One of them won't be very far away. Paul McCartney's school for performing arts is just at the other end of the street between the two cathedrals, the Anglican one and the Catholic one, right opposite the Anglican cathedral. But I don't think he'll be bothering coming to our events. We're not seeking to attract the big personalities. We're really trying to help ordinary people to appreciate our role in the city. And I believe also Ringo Starr is coming this Friday to the opening ceremony, but that won't have anything to do with the Metropolitan Cathedral, except in as much as I think they want to use it as a backdrop for part of the celebration.
Liverpool has a reputation for being a lively city with an edgy spirit and great sense of fun, and also has a great maritime heritage. Has that heritage had an impact on the makeup of the population of the city? I imagine Liverpool has a multicultural society, no? If so, how has this impacted on the Catholic Church and in particular on new generations?
It depends when you were born. When I was born, there was no problem with black people, for example. I grew up with black people, Greek people, Chinese people in the school I went to. And although there were few in number, it was absolutely normal to us to have those people. The oldest Chinatown in Europe is in Liverpool. People came from Shanghai and Hong Kong regions, and particularly after communism took hold in 1949, but also long before that. And all the street names there are in both English and Cantonese, the particular variant of Chinese that they speak. There's a Greek Orthodox Church here. There are several synagogues. There's a very old Ghanaian community from the days of the slave trade, sadly. That's what Liverpool grew in the days when cotton was being brought from the United States, and it was part of the triangle of slaves, cotton, and other goods travelling round parts of the Atlantic between England and Africa. So we've had a long-established Ghanaian community and a Catholic Ghanaian community at that. More recently, a Somali community has come, and since terrible events in Somalia, more recently that community has grown hugely, enormously, and that the newer people are very proud of their Muslim heritage. So it's not only multicultural but multi-religious now, the city, and consciously so. It's very interesting how things have changed. But of course, at different points in history, people have taken advantage or slightly abused the situation for political ends. But before that, or apart from that, generally the communities get on very well, and there's no inherent difficulty.
I noticed you have talks focusing on the founders of many of the major orders throughout the year, beginning with St. Francis, through to St. Benedict and St. Ignatius of Loyola. How did this come about? Presumably this wasn't just haphazard. I mean, these men contributed to the cultural scenario of their times, didn't they?
Yes, well, I think the people giving those talks work either in or near Liverpool, because there have always been Franciscans here for a long time, Jesuits. We don't have any Dominicans in Liverpool. And Opus Dei are present here in the usual way and various other religious orders. So it's good for people to get a glimpse of the variety of forms of life within the Catholic Church. Those talks will be given during the context of a Mass in the Blessed Sacrament Shrine, which is right in the centre of the city. So it's not only giving information, it's actually inviting people to join in the worship, whether they're Catholic or not, whether they're Christian or not, whether they're believers or not. So I think it's a great initiative showing how open, in fact, the Catholic worship is. One doesn't have to be a fully paid-up member to go. And the idea is not particularly to fish people in. It's not proselytizing so much as informing and asking people to become aware of and to rejoice in the variety of Catholic life.
We've been speaking about Liverpool as European City of Culture, but I believe there's another city in Norway which is also European City of Culture.
Stavanger, the oil city on the southwest coast of Norway, is the second, if you like, city of culture this year. There's no razzmatazz there as there is in Liverpool. It's much more focused on nature, as you'd expect, and on the oil industry and on the beauty, the natural beauty of the Norwegian landscape. How that's lent itself to the style of life that's now been developed in the last 100 years with the oil industry. Very different, very small, and I'm hoping that the invitations that have gone from Liverpool to Stavanger and vice versa will be taken up, as has happened in churches and in other organisations. One of the things that will go on throughout this year in Liverpool is links with cities on the edge, which are all maritime cities around Europe, including Stavanger and Naples, and Liverpool, Marseille, and a few other places. That would be a remarkable link-up to initiate and to maintain.
Is hope a sort of hallmark of Liverpool as a city of culture this year?
Well, the word hope has a different meaning here. When the late Archbishop Warlock used to visit the Pope, he would always mention Hope Street, which is a street along which Pope John Paul travelled on his journey from the airport to the Metropolitan Cathedral. And he was taken that way because Hope Street links the two cathedrals. But it's not named after the virtue of hope, it's named actually after a merchant. But people make capital out of the fortuitous coincidence there. And a new university was set up a few years ago, Liverpool Hope. And it's in fact Liverpool Hope University, which will be the location for the Festival of Hope. It's a deliberate play on words. It's mainly for young people from all around the world. And Cardinal Murphy O'Connor, the Archbishop of Westminster in England, will be coming to Liverpool to give really encouragement of young people.
Our thanks there to the coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as European City of Culture. He's Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, and his personal hope is that 2008 will provide his hometown with an opportunity to give voice to the voiceless, among them the sick and suffering, and those behind prison bars. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.